Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome back to The Showrunner, the podcast for people dedicated to creating remarkable audio experiences for their audience. This is episode number 75. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily, as I always am, by my t-shirt-wearing co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. But first, this episode is brought to you by Acuity Scheduling. Acuity Scheduling makes scheduling meetings online easy. Clients can view your real-time availability, self-book appointments with you, fill out forms, and even pay you online. To learn more and get a 45-day free trial, visit acuityscheduling.com/showrunner. That's A-C-U-I-T-Y scheduling.com/showrunner. Johnny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, and I'm wearing a t-shirt. It all fits.
Big surprise. So hey, are you ready to talk about profitability, increasing the profitability of our podcast and teaching our listeners how they can do that as well?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I was just thinking about that as you read that excellent Acuity ad spot.
I am too. And we've spent a lot of time over the last 74 episodes discussing the fourth pillar of a remarkable podcast, which is profitability. And while podcast profitability doesn't always have to be direct in the form of money paid by sponsors for ads, generating revenue directly from your show certainly isn't a bad thing when it's done in a smart, savvy way. And you and I have tried to share some of our experiences doing that. And our guest today actually helps showrunners earn revenue directly from their show. And he's here to kind of lend his insight on how we can all improve the direct profitability of our shows.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Today's guest is the founder of Adopter Media, a full-service podcast advertising agency. Prior to starting Adopter, he was selling podcast advertising at Twit. As the director of marketing, when the opportunity arose, though, to be part of the CEO's recently formed in-house sales effort for podcast advertising, he ended up there and ended up directing marketing strategy for 20-plus technology shows with more than 70 million annual downloads and streams.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
It's great to have you, man. It's great to have you. And it's fitting because the reason why I mentioned the Acuity is because your company, Adopter Media, has been the company that we've worked with now at Rainmaker.fm to get Acuity onto the show. And so it seemed very fitting to have you on here.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And yes, full disclosure, I did work with Rainmaker FM and Acuity scheduling to place that ad.
Right, but that's not why you're here. It's just fitting. But but I thought it was worth mentioning too. All right. So what do you say? Should we just jump into talking about some podcast advertising?
Yes, let's.
Let's do it. All right, Glenn. Well, we've spent a ton of time in the past 75 episodes and through the Showrunner podcasting course talking about podcast sponsorships. But can we just start simply with just, could you tell us why podcast advertising works?
Well, in short, it's really about connections. It's about the connection that you have as a podcaster with your audience. And what you're doing is you're essentially opening up that connection to brands, businesses, and services that you believe in and sharing those with your audience. And when done properly, in a really honest, straightforward, and transparent manner where they are labeled as sponsors, what you're doing is you're creating a powerful recommendation and endorsement for these products and services that will resonate with your audience. And again, if you do that well, that's going to be the most effective way for companies to advertise their products and services because they're putting them in hands of people that are going to use them, have a personal experience, and give that endorsement endorsement, in essence, becoming an ambassador for that brand. So what that boils down to, John, is that, you know, if you're talking about acuity scheduling and you're talking about a service that you've been using, when you talk about that to your audience, to them, that should be more engaging than hearing a standard, quote unquote, you know, pre-produced, pre-packaged ad that they would hear on TV or radio, because you're doing something that's honest, you're doing something that's meaningful. And again, your bond with your audience is really what you're taking advantage of to make that connection on behalf of the product or service.
Glenn, you know, you mentioned products that you believe in. How important is it for a podcast host who's going to do an ad to have actual experience with the brand and be able to make a personal recommendation from their experience? Because obviously there are lots of different opportunities to do ad reads for a lot of different companies that you may get. So how important is that for there to be some kind of personal experience there as opposed to just, you know, kind of reading copy that gets sent over?
Very, very important. And I think what we're finding more and more now that, you know, podcast advertising has just really blown up this year. I mean, you know, it was estimated going into the year that it was going to be over $60 million in podcast ad revenue. I think when all is said and done, it's probably going to be closer to $100 million for 2016. And I think that with all of this money that's flowing into the space right now, like what you just said, there are a lot of podcasters that simply are like, hey, get me, you know, one sheet with some info and I'll just do the read and basically stick to what you want me to say about your product or service. And I think offering that personal endorsement, that personal experience is really the way that podcasters can rise above the fold and stand out in the crowd. Because what you're doing, again, is you're treating it more like a piece of content, even though it's labeled as an ad. It's going to fit with your show. It's going to be in your voice and it's going to be communicated in a way that will resonate with your audience. So that personal experience, if small podcasters out there want to know how they can give themselves an edge in getting ads and compete with the larger networks, committing to that personal experience and that first person account is definitely a huge way to stand out in the crowd.
So when you answered both of these questions, you've mentioned clearly labeling them as ads. Is this a disclaimer and necessary, or is this something that helps sort of the whole sponsorship?
Well, it helps in the sense that it's transparent and honest. But as far as disclaimer, look, the Federal Trade Commission has been pretty clear about wanting, whether it's social media or any form of new media that we're seeing that's already been infiltrated by advertising, in seeing that these things are clearly labeled as such so the audience knows you're being paid to talk about something. And I think that, again, the bond with the audience, I mean, I mentioned this in my book, is that it really is sacred, right? The connection that you have with the showrunner audience, the people listening to this right now. So you want to be honest with them and let them know that this is something you were paid to talk about, but that you also believe in. And so I think it's twofold. One is that you're giving a clear disclaimer that it's a paid sponsorship. But two, it also is in your best interest to talk about your sponsor policies with your audience. Talk about the fact that you only advertise products you believe in. Not to tell tales out of class here, but I mean, there have been a couple of podcasters in this medium who almost jokingly, but not so jokingly, will go on and on about, oh, hey, we'll advertise, you know, anyone that gives us money to advertise something, we'll advertise it. And these are some larger names in podcasting. And what's funny is if you look at what's happened, if you were to follow these trajectories of these shows, they after a while have trouble getting ads because their audience doesn't trust their credibility. So I think you want to be really clear with your audience about what your sponsor policy is, and then mention that. Use that to your advantage to talk about how these companies that you will take money from pass that test, that it's something that you believe in and are comfortable communicating to your audience. You're comfortable endorsing it and putting your name behind that product.
So Glenn, you know, you're kind of leading into this next question that I want to ask, because I think, you know, if you are not transparent and if you take a really kind of short-term myopic view of podcast advertising, you could potentially really ruin your relationship with your audience and make yourself a much less fertile ground for advertisers to want to work with. So why does podcast advertising fail? When it does, what are some of the through lines that you've seen when it doesn't work?
Well, the biggest, most obvious ones are it's just a bad fit for the show, a bad fit for the audience. I kind of notoriously point to just some of the more interesting reads that I've heard over the years. There's one famous example, and this again isn't throwing at anyone, but I've heard people marketing infrastructure monitoring for IT, right? And monitoring for your net apps and making sure that everything is running smoothly and keeping that up and running, you know, whether it's your web server, whether it's your applications, getting that those first notifications, right? That's an important product or service that we can all agree people in IT and software would need that sort of infrastructure monitoring. I heard an ad for this on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. Now, nothing against Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I actually host a wrestling podcast in my spare time. But I could hear when listening to Stone Cold do the ad, he had no clue what he was talking about. He was just going off a piece of paper, you know, and sort of doing a spiel. And he was like struggling to keep up and talking about, you know, all these different things, you know, in terms of malware alerts and JavaScript and just all these terms that you could tell he didn't really have a handle on what he was talking about. So that's number one. Right, is just you want to make sure that you're advertising on a podcast that makes sense for your product or service. Now, this can make sense in two different ways. One is the subject matter of the podcast. So we can probably agree that Stone Cold Steve Austin and his subject matter, talking to other people in professional wrestling and sports entertainment, is probably not a subject matter fit for IT. But you could make an argument, and I would be curious if this is where someone got that idea, that, hey, maybe a lot of IT guys love wrestling. It's a heavy male audience. Software engineering is a, you know, heavy male profession. Maybe that was a good idea demographic-wise to do that ad. So I'll give them, you know, some credit there in saying that maybe the demographics of that ad made sense when placing it. But that being said, the other ways that campaigns can fail is you can have a brand new startup because, and let me tell you, I deal with this a lot. I have a lot of startups that are calling me, emailing us, you know, in my agency saying like, hey, we're a brand new company. We want to test podcast advertising. We hear that, you know, it's really the place to be right now. And these companies are so young that they really don't have a proven business model. So if someone wants to advertise on your podcast or you want to advertise on a podcast, make sure that you've tested it out a bit first. I mean, you can be in those early stages, but you have to know what your pricing is worth, you know, what's going to really convert and compel an audience to sign up for your product or service. And if you have a handle on that and you have a handle that your pricing will work, then you have a much higher likelihood of having podcast advertising work for you. What you don't want, and I've seen this fail before, if someone will be like, hey, we're still experimenting with the pricing, podcast ads, we're putting some money into this. Let's test, you know, our more expensive pricing on this and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, it's not that podcast ads didn't work. It's just that your pricing was all wrong. But there's also some things that maybe are a little less obvious. And I do talk about this in my book under, you know, the reason why some podcast ad campaigns fail. One, and we've seen this trend a lot, if your company has some avant-garde way of spelling your name, this is an audio medium. And you have to be able to break it out for people, you know, and let them know. I mean, think about it. I mean, you'll notice in the ad you did for Acuity, and again, you know, props to them. They're a great company. But the average person might not know how Acuity is spelled, which is why you start with the A-C-U-I. So that way people can understand that. And you want to take that into account because if you've got this sort of funky name and people don't, you know how to find you just by hearing it, that's going to be a problem. And another one, and this is a huge, huge landmine, you have to tell, look, any podcasters out there, if you have a sponsor, the number one thing you have to tell them when figuring out what the offer or incentive is going to be for your audience, right? And we all know it. It's the, you know, the free trials, the percentage off, et cetera, et cetera. We hear them on every podcast ad. You have to make sure that whatever they're offering on your podcast is as good or better than other incentives they're running through other channels. Because podcast audiences are so smart. They're so on top of things. They're going to Google and make sure they're getting the best ad. And hey, if you're listening to the Showrunner right now, you love this podcast, but you can't tell me that if you can't get a better deal somewhere else using a different offer code, using a different coupon, you're not going to go with that. You know, yeah. That's just sort of the basic, you know, human mentality in the 21st century of how we dictate, you know, which coupon or promo we use. We want the best deal. And that's something that I see, oh my God, all the time, sponsors that want to mess around with that, that want to, you know, say, oh, hey, maybe we're spending a little more on podcasts. It's going to cost us a little more per conversion. Let's not give them the best offer. And then they wonder why it doesn't work. You know?
Yeah. No, that's great. I love all of those tips. And actually, I want to see if you have any more tips like that here in just a second. But first, I do want to take a quick break and tell you about Acuity Scheduling, the sponsor for this week's episode of The Showrunner. And of all the ad reads I've done, I'm a little nervous about this one with Glenn here on the line with us. But the truth is, you know how challenging the back and forth of booking appointments, meetings, and podcast guests can be. And Johnny, when you started Hack the Entrepreneur, did you have scheduling software, or were you going back and forth via email trying to schedule, what was it, 3 interviews a week?
Yeah, to schedule three a week, and I didn't have it for the first, I'm going to say, five. And then somebody brought it to my attention, and it was life-changing.
Yeah, I mean, how big of an impact did that make, you know, not having to do the whole what time works for you thing again, and actually having some easy software that took into account your schedule, the person's schedule, and made it real easy to book? How much time did that save you?
Not so much that it even just saved me time, but it actually stopped from me just getting ignored. My emails used to just get ignored. And as soon as I added that, like, here's the scheduling link, I just started booking guests like nothing.
Wow. Well, and that's the thing. Software like Acuity Scheduling makes the entire process of scheduling appointments easy. And with Acuity in particular, it works with your existing Google Office 365 iCloud or Outlook calendar. Clients can view your availability and self-book appointments, complete onboarding forms, and even submit payment so you can get back to running your business. Acuity helps you avoid no-shows with automatic text and email reminders, and it's just simple to use, and they offer phenomenal customer support. So go to acuityscheduling.com/showrunner to start booking all of your meetings with zero hassle right now, especially if you're doing any type of interview show like Johnny is with Hack the Entrepreneur. It can be a lifesaver. Paid plans start at just $10 a month, but Showrunner listeners can access a free 45-day trial of Acuity Scheduling stress-free schedule management. That's a month and a half for free just by using acuityscheduling.com/showrunner when you sign up. That's A-C-U-I-T-Y scheduling.com/showrunner. And we thank them for their support of the Showrunner. Glenn, you kind of, you know, got into some of the tips for making podcast advertising work, you know, from making sure that offer is good. Anything else, you know, and you mentioned it's an audio medium. And so especially companies that may have kind of a peculiar name, you know, making sure that you get that spelling right. What other tips do you have for maybe using custom URLs, any other, even, you know, just kind of minute small tips that sometimes people overlook?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you want to think about, you know, and you want to think about this as part of your brand identity for as a podcaster, right? Which is, you know, in a show like The Showrunner, it's pretty easy that your product offer code should be Showrunner, your URL should be /Showrunner. But think about what your podcast is. Shouldn't it be an abbreviation? You know, what do you want to go just, you know, in terms of the letters of a show? Do you want to go with the full name? Do you want to go with the host's first name? How do you want to identify your podcast or your network if you have a number of podcasts? So that way you've got consistency across the board. And you want to think about that because if you're doing, you know, let's say three ads in one show, you know, so for instance, with a showrunner, you don't want it to be, you know, /showrunner for one sponsor, /John for another, and /Jared for another. You know, you want that consistency. So that's something that definitely podcasters should keep in mind. And above and beyond that, you know, and this is a big one as well, as a podcaster, you really want to vet your advertisers. I mean, if someone comes at you and says, hey, we want to give you a bunch of money to say nice things about our product or service and advertise it to your audience. Most podcasters would think like, oh my God, this is fantastic. This is great. Of course I love your product. You want to give me money. How am I not? I love you as a person, you know? And the thing you have to think about is what is the track record of that product or service? Because if you bring a bad one to your audience, you know, as I mentioned before, your audience isn't going to trust you after that. You know, if they sign up for something based on your testimonial and they have a bad experience, they're not going to sign up for the next thing that you advertise. So, and you've been taking it a step further. If it's something that's brand new, right? So if, I mean, Acuity, they've been around for years, but let's say that it's a product or service that is only a couple months old. Your audience is probably going to Google that product or service before they go there. Even with your recommendation, just to sort of see like, hey, what do the other reviews say? And if those reviews are bad, that's not going to convert in a signup. You know, you could give it the most glowing, praising endorsement and testimonial ever, but if they see red flags when they Google the company name, you know, if I mentioned this in the book, like if the words like ripoff are there when you Google that company, it's not gonna convert, man. Like that's, no one's gonna sign up for that. Or if there's something deceptive about their marketing, you know, famously there are companies that advertise on podcasts specifically that want to sell you, you know, stuff for Mother's Day or Valentine's Day or Father's Day, and the prices that they quote sound great, and then when you get to the end of checkout, you see that the shipping is actually more than the flowers or the strawberries or whatever it is you're ordering from them. Uh-oh. And that's not going to convert either. So it's important to test drive anything that you're going to be advertising, and don't just test drive it in terms of the comp account that they give you or the free product they give you. Go on the website, sign up yourself, see how the experience is. Is this something you're comfortable, tapping your audience into?
Why are we kind of, though, as showrunners, why are we sort of pigeonholed as like, it's like us and our endorsement, even though it's very clearly has to be defined as a sponsorship, but a radio host who has just an ad spots put into it, TV shows, like the worst Axe body spray thing can be put on, or people who create on YouTube, right? Just whatever terrible ad gets run before them, you don't relate that to the show. That's just part of paying for the medium. How come why do we not get that benefit?
Well, because here's the huge benefit that you're getting instead, which is that podcast ads on a CPM basis, right? And CPM, Latin, mille, cost per thousand basis, you're getting a much higher CPM than someone would pay to advertise on TV or radio or even one of those YouTube pre-roll ads. And the great news is that, you know, you're not a large network. You're most cases as a podcaster, you're doing this yourself. So maybe you're working with a broker like me, or maybe you're working with a network that's taking a small percentage of this, but you're getting the vast majority of that much higher CPM. So that's why it's so important that you, as a podcaster, believe in what you're selling, believe in who you're representing, and do that extra layer of due diligence. Because I can tell you that unless you had a huge podcast, I mean, we're talking something, you know, in the hundreds of thousands or the millions of listeners per episode, you know, it wouldn't be as attractive as at TV, radio, or those YouTube pre-roll levels. And the difference we're talking about, just so people understand, you know, in terms of radio, we're talking about CPMs that, you know, are like under a dollar or in the dollar amount. You know, in terms of TV, when it all falls out, we're talking about something roughly the same. In terms of those YouTube pre-roll ads, I mean, we're talking about something that's in the low dollars. You know, I think $4 was the last number that I heard mentioned. And with podcasts, you should be able to command anywhere from $10, you know, and there's some podcasts that command as high as $100 CPM. So yeah, there's a little bit more work and responsibility on your end, but also a lot more money to be had given the size of the audience. And I think that's where just a lot of podcasters are seeing huge opportunity right now. You know, if they have an engaged following of how to convert their podcast into, if not a sole income, to convert it into a very nice side channel of income.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad you made that point, John. I'm glad that you asked that question, because we talk all the time about how the reason why podcasting is so great, why everyone should do it, is because of the connection that you create with your audience. And that's what, as you said, advertisers are trying to tap into. And that means that podcasters are going to be held to a little bit of a higher standard. You know, you can't just take the good part of connection, but then dismiss it just because you're going to be making money on this ad. It's all got to be there for the audience. And so I think that's why we need to treat that with, you know, with the extra responsibility that truly is there. So glad you asked that question, Johnny.
So Glenn, lots of people like that are part of the showrunner community are really just getting started with, they have their first show and they don't have a ton of downloads, therefore CPM. So Jared and I have talked a lot about treating your first sponsor or sponsors like partners. So like I did with Hack the Entrepreneur and FreshBooks, they were like my sole sponsor for a long time. And I gave them sort of a package deal, right? Focusing less on CPM because that was growing, but it was still quite small. But how would you, Glenn, as someone who's negotiated sponsorship deals for both large and small and new and well-seasoned shows, what other metrics can a showrunner sell like a sponsorship package on?
Well, so you can include your social media, you can include your email list, obviously. You can even talk about, and again, this kind of, you walk a fine line with this, and I really only recommend this if it's a perfect fit, right? Like you can't do this for anyone, but you could do a sponsored content episode. I mean, advertisers seem to love those. A lot of more editorial leaning outlets don't want to go there, and I completely understand and respect that. But if you see that there's a really good fit, you know, I mean, I'm just saying this sort of completely off the top of my head. But for instance, I mean, if there were a company that made audio software, you know, and they did like a mastering suite, right? And it was like awesome for mastering podcasts. I could see where the showrunner, if they wanted to sponsor it, it might not just be worth one sponsorship mentioned, but there might be an opportunity there to like, hey, let's talk to an engineer from that company. Let's talk about with the importance of, you know, great sound quality and all these ways that our product or service makes this possible. That's just like one example of how you could do a sort of a sponsored content episode. But I think what really is good, because right now it's so competitive in the marketplace that if you have a smaller podcast, what you're going to want to be looking for is what's a success story. And this is where it's sort of a chicken or egg scenario in terms of what comes first. So there are right now out there a lot of affiliate marketing opportunities where you can find someone that they might not give you money up front, but they will pay you per sign up, or they'll pay you based on the leads or business you generate for them. And you could take something like that and do it as sort of a test. Again, in that case, by the way, that is a true partnership, because you're only getting paid based on your success. But then you could take that story and go to other advertisers and get them to pay you money up front based on how well you performed with that sort of affiliate deal. And I think that those success stories are going to become more and more important as this medium gets more crowded with, you know, more podcasters competing for those ad dollars.
Yeah, I like that. The idea of the affiliate filling in for the full sponsor. Would you still suggest, like, somebody who's starting out and maybe doesn't have sponsors yet but wants to work into it, starting and putting in their like pre-roll, mid-roll as affiliates, but calling them sponsorships? Or
yeah, because you have a vested business interest, right? I mean, you should disclose that.
Yeah. So even if you don't have actual sponsors, then you could just fill those with your affiliate spots, and then you have some metrics to start leading into the conversation of sponsorship with people, because you can say how those have already worked out for you.
Absolutely. And I mean, other things you could do. So, you know, we know this, you know, a lot of people involved in podcasts also have their side projects, which are sort of their day job businesses. So if you're doing a course that you're selling, if you're doing a book that you're selling, even if you're launching a campaign for like a t-shirt, right? Something that's tied into the podcast, and you're promoting that through the podcast, those metrics also count. You know, maybe you do a unique URL or a unique offer code. And so that way you're kind of cobbling together this case study. And granted, it's not an apples to apples comparison. But look, if you go to an advertiser and you want to say that, hey, you know, we did a limited edition t-shirt on our show, we sold 500 of them within the first day that we put it on sale. To me, what that represents is you're really proving how engaged your audience is. And even though you were doing that for people to support the show, if you can get 500 people, hell, if you can get 100 people in a day to spend $20 on a t-shirt, I'm going to want to test a couple ads out on your podcast as a result of that. You know, I'm going to be mentioning you to sponsors, because to me that's engagement. And then that proof of engagement absolutely is something that sponsors love.
I love it. I love it. It's great. So this has been a lot of fun, Glenn. I thank you so much for sharing with Jared and I, and also the listener. But there's this book you recently wrote on Amazon, and I would love it if you could sort of just specifically tell the listener about it.
Yeah. So I wrote this book. It's called Podcast Advertising Works: How to Turn Engaged Audiences into Loyal Customers. And I wrote this book because I spent a lot of my time educating potential advertisers about podcasts and podcast advertising. And, you know, you hear for years, oh, hey, you should write a book. And after a while, you start to believe it, right? So I put this together. I spent probably way too much time on it, but it's only 70 pages. It's a quick read. But what it will do is give you a history of podcasts, a history of podcast advertising, where the medium is at now, all the different terminology for and all the different styles of ads, talking again about why the ads work, how the ads work, why sometimes ads don't work, and what you can do to make sure podcast ad campaigns are successful. And what's cool about this book now, for the showrunner audience, just to let you know, it is geared more towards advertisers and marketers that are looking at this medium. But I have had many people tell me that work in this business that anyone can read this book and know how to sell podcast ads. So if you're a podcaster out there and you want to know how to sell your podcast, I recommend picking up a copy of this book. Again, it's on Amazon. And all you do, you know, read this and you'll put it into context of why the medium works. And you can start thinking about how to shape your story of how your podcast can be effective in this medium.
Exactly. I had the pleasure of reading it over the weekend, and it's a great book. Podcast Advertising Works: How to Turn Engaged Audiences into Loyal Customers by Mr. Glenn Rubenstein. Glenn, thanks again so much for sharing with us. And the book is, like you say, for advertisers, but I mean, who wants to go sit down at a sales table and try and make the pitch without knowing how the other person's thinking and what it is they're looking for in a sponsorship deal? That's our job as showrunners, is to bring that other side of it to the table. So definitely give the book a read, because it's a quick read and there's a lot of information there.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. And people can find me and my agency, Adopter Media, online at adopter.media.
I love it. And go to showrunner.fm. join the Showrunner email list. Get on our weekly newsletter, which includes announcements of the free public events that Jared and I are going to be starting back up again. And also each week's new episode will be right there. Showrunner.fm.